Hi, it's Dan here. In this episode, we talk about how whether you are a leader or an individual, you can create a culture of innovation in your organization. I think you're going to really like this episode because Tracy and I go deep into the different behaviors that anyone can do to further having an innovative culture so that our organizations can be more impactful in the way that they work. Check it out. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Innovate for Impact podcast. You've got Tracy, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Dan Bentley. Before we get into today's episode, we'd like to start with an acknowledgement of country. I record here in Adelaide, so I would like to acknowledge the Kaurna as the traditional custodians of the Adelaide Plains region and pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
And I'm back in Melbourne on the lands of the Bunurong people of the Kulin Nations, and I'd like to pay my respects to the elders past, present, and emerging also.
Great. So yeah, today we're going to talk about our Innovate for Impact framework. So normally when we talk about this, we talk about it from an organizational perspective. I'm going to take a little bit of a different tack today because we're going to be talking about how you can innovate effectively within an organization as an individual. So even if you're a senior leader listening to our podcast, it's still helpful to think about, well, how does my individual behavior really set up our organization to make innovation part of our DNA?
Yeah. And it might also be helpful too if you manage people and they're asking you, how do I get involved if I'm not in a leadership perspective? This can also help from that perspective too. So just to give people a little bit of a reminder around what our Innovate for Impact framework is, it's those four pillars of innovation that we usually talk about. And these are the four things that keep coming up every time we speak to people on this podcast or we work with our clients. These organizations who are the most impactful organizations always do these four things really well. And they are mission focused, so having a goal that their whole organization is moving towards, and then having all those structures in place to really bring that to life for people. It's creative leadership, which is all about having leaders that create a culture where innovation can happen and that it feels safe and that they are adaptive in the way that they lead due to the changes that are coming down the line. Client centricity and collaboration, that's all about us understanding the needs of our clients and the people we're there to support. And finally, empowered people, and that's all about us having the right tools and resources available for our people so that they can actually make change if they see an opportunity to do so. So me and Trace are going to go through those four pillars, but like Tracy said, we're going to look at them a little bit different today. We're going to talk about them from the perspective of you as an individual, what you can do to bring these to life.
Yeah, so the first is mission focus. So that is really all about, as Dan said, you know, having that really strong goal that everyone's united in working towards. So of course, the first thing that we suggest you do is really deepen your understanding of that mission. You know, lean in, think about, well, what could that look like? What does that mean? And really make sure that you understand the mission and what it will take to be able to achieve that. And then think about, how does the work that you do each day contribute to being able to achieve that?
Yeah, it's pretty simple, that one. It's really about just understanding what it is that the organization's out to achieve and making sure that you're doing those right things. It's as simple as that. The next one is all around aligning activities. So ensure that your daily activities and projects align with the mission. So I guess that's a bit of a common thing that you might want to be doing is constantly checking that everything that you are working on, any project that you approve, anything that you're involved in is mission aligned. It can be easy for us sometimes to be brought into initiatives and different things that we need to do in our day to day. But the best leaders always ask themselves, well, is this actually mission critical? We quite often are under-resourced in this space. And so we need to really protect our time. And the best leaders that are the most innovative, they really do ensure that the projects that they are working on and the things that they are looking at are mission focused.
Of course, everyone's going to go, oh yeah, I do that. But it's so easy to get sucked into the vortex, isn't it? And it is really important just to stay present to the idea that when I say yes to this, it means I'm saying no to something else. And to really consider, you know, where the things that you're taking on are going to have impacts in other areas. And the next one is all about making sure that you're taking the time to share those new ideas or improvements, like continually look and try and preserve those sort of fresh eyes so that you're always seeing ways to contribute new ideas or improvements that can help you to achieve that mission, even if they are, you know, maybe a little bit outside of the things that you usually do in your day-to-day.
That's so true. And this one might seem a little bit obvious, but it's, you know, something that we always need to make sure that we're doing is whenever we do anything in our work, trying to track the impact of what that had and then being able to relate that towards the organization's big goal and mission. Because when we do that, it really helps us to, one, ensure that we are doing things that are aligned to that, but two, it helps other people understand too that what we're doing on this particular project or this initiative that we rolled out is actually contributing to the bigger picture. And obviously, the people that are involved in that are really going to, you know, enjoy knowing that that's the case.
Yeah. And our next pillar is all about creative leadership. So, you know, when we talk about creative leadership, it is about the traditional structure of leadership, but it's also about demonstrating leadership. So whether that's a formal leadership role or whether that's just taking leadership in terms of being a problem solver and demonstrating those creative problem solving skills and really taking on things that go wrong or any challenges with that mindset of like, how can we solve this in an innovative way rather than just going through the motions and sticking to the status quo.
This is a mindset, and it's something that we have to choose each day when we come into work. I think it can be easy to justify why things are the way they are, especially if there's something that we may have created or have been a part of for some time and we've become used to them. So being a problem solver really is a mindset, I think, that people get to choose each day. And when we have that mindset of keeping those fresh eyes and seeing those problems and looking at that continuous improvement mindset, we do get a lot better outcomes, and it can be really, you know, helpful for everybody when we have lots of people that have that mindset. It's also about as well embracing failure as learning. So you don't have to be in a leadership position to do that. It's all about looking at anything that didn't go how it planned, not as the word failure. You almost need to remove that word from your vocabulary and think about things as, did I achieve what I needed to, or did I learn something out of this that will help me get closer to achieving that next time? The best leaders, the best people, doesn't matter if you're a leader or an individual, they do embrace failure as learning, and they don't see it as a final destination. They look at what they can learn from situations and they take that on to their next thing to do it better.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a powerful mindset, and it's really easy to say and sometimes quite tricky to do. As the next thing is, and again, this is one of those things that is important to do whether you are in a leadership role or whether it's just actually part of your mindset, and that is actually leading by example and demonstrating that leadership so that you're sort of taking the lead by showing creativity and initiative and supporting people who are trying new things and encouraging people so that you're really actually showing people that it is safe to embrace failure as learning and that it is possible to try new approaches and really create that safe space.
This one always reminds me of that video. I don't know if everyone's seen this, but I used to love it. It was called like the Leadership Dance. And it was this concert that was being played and everybody was sitting down on the grass just watching this, I think it was a band playing or a DJ playing or something like that. And this one person just gets up to start dancing and everybody's just looking at this person going, what's this person doing? Like they're just waving their arms around. And in those people's defense that were sitting on the rugs, they were doing some pretty crazy dance moves. So they were a bit like, this is a bit interesting. But then somebody else comes up and joins that person. And then somebody else comes up and then a couple gets up and starts dancing together right near them. And before you know it, the whole place is dancing. And I love that video because that's what things look like in organizations. And no matter who we are, anyone can be that first person, or you could even be one of those second, third, or even the 100th person that got up. But that's leading by example. They changed that culture in that moment because they were brave enough to do that. And any of us can do that no matter what type of role we're in. If we are passionate about innovation, we're passionate about changing things for the better, we can lead that and others will join you.
Yes, absolutely.
The other one that I see a lot too is people who are really diligent around spending time completing their day-to-day work as well as creating space and holding that space for longer term and more strategic initiatives. It can look in like all different things, but what we often see that works really well is when people are scheduling time in their calendar and they are treating that time like it's a meeting with the CEO or their one-up manager. Somebody comes and says, do you want to have lunch with me at that time, or do you want to come to this other random thing? You go, I'm so sorry, I've actually got something booked there. And they use that time productively on doing that strategic, innovative work. It is so easy, no matter what role you're in this space, to get sucked in to the day-to-day of the organization. There are more than enough spot fires to put out, things to fix, problems to solve that are short-term things without making the place better. So you have to be diligent, you have to be really focused, and you have to be a little bit proactive to make sure that you get that time, because unfortunately, nobody's going to give that time to you in most cases. A lot of the time we have to take this time, and we need to guard that time to make sure that we are a balanced person and we're working on both of those things.
Absolutely. Because you're always going to get pulled by those things. And like you said, it's about creating that for yourself, because it really does make a positive difference. And there's 100 different reasons why it's hard to do, but equally 100 different reasons why there's real benefit in actually doing it. So look for those reasons that give you the benefits. And the next one is all about constructively pushing back against the status quo. The status quo is comfortable and it's familiar, and it can be a real challenge to find constructive ways to push back against that. But what we find is, again, you know, people who are demonstrating this creative leadership find ways to be able to challenge the status quo, but in a constructive way. So they use stories, they combine that with data and really bring to life what is possible and encourage people to move into those new areas and to change their perspective and to change their views and to change their behaviours.
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen it in organisations. There's those people that always get stuff done. They always get change made, and they're quite often really good at these things that Tracy just mentioned. So anyone can do it. You just need to be thinking, again, a little strategically around, well, if I want this to change, what's the story? What's the compelling story that I can pull together to be able to help other people see what I can see? And a lot of the time that can be stories about individuals. It can also be wider problems that are happening in the world that you can also grab statistics about and those sorts of things to support that. Whatever that looks like, that sort of way of working gets other people on board. And it doesn't matter what sort of role you're in, but that's leadership if you do that, which is pretty cool. So
our next pillar is all about client centricity. So the thing that we see that really makes the biggest difference is, again, it's that mindset. It's where you start off with believing in the benefits of looking after our clients and sharing that decision-making with them. And then from that mindset come all of those little micro actions that help the organization to line up behind that. But we've got to start again with ourselves and, you know, really focusing on that belief. And sometimes, you know, if you've got some doubts, find some examples. You know, think about some stories where you've actually seen those benefits realized through sharing that decision making, and share some of that with other people as well.
If you really have that belief around being client centric, then what you need to do next is to gain a deep understanding of who your clients are and what they need and what their challenges are, and really make sure that you're keeping that at the center of your work. This is the sort of thing that can really separate modern employees from people that act in very sort of more old school ways, where the modern employee that really is a high performer is quite often really got their finger on the pulse with needs of the people that they're there to support. You know, I guess what the opposite to that is people who think they are the next big genius and they know everything about what people need, and they're more so thinking of it from their perspective. So I guess what we're really trying to say here is that you need to be a little bit humble, you need to be curious, and you need to be outward focused, and you need to be doing things that help you understand more, whether that's research or whether just spending time on the front line or spending time with clients. There's so many different ways you can do it. But this gives you a deep understanding of them, and that will help you to be much better at your work and be a lot more innovative than if you were to do the opposite of that, which is to keep yourself very internally focused within the organization.
Yeah. And look, one of the things that we see that really makes a difference in terms of demonstrating that understanding and using that understanding to get better is to seek feedback. You know, the more you can be humble and regularly seek feedback from clients and then use that to drive improvements, the better you get at really delivering at a high quality level. So sometimes, again, it can be a little confronting when we're actually getting that feedback if it's something that we're not used to doing. But the more we regularly seek that feedback and the more that we are then proactive in addressing our clients' needs and concerns using that feedback, the better quality services we're going to be able to deliver. And you know, it becomes then easier to seek that feedback because we get better at it and we get better at understanding how to take that feedback and use that to deliver even higher quality.
It doesn't just stop there as well. I think when you get those insights from that feedback, it is about putting them into action. So do something about it is a really blunt way of putting it. There's so many client problems out there that exist. Some of them are big, some of them are small. But as any of us in an organization, we can go and innovate to make things better for them. So real simple one there. And I think as well, the other thing I'd add to that too is that collaboration around these things is the best way to do it. Who do you know across the organization that could be an ally and can also understand these challenges as much as you do? How could you get them on board so that you work together? Because the more people that you have on board with this sort of stuff, the more chance you've got of actually getting it stood up. So look out for those allies across your organization. Try and find people who have got the power to be able to change these things, get them on board with what you do and collaborate.
Absolutely. That probably leads us into the next one, which is, you know, look for ways to co-design solutions to be able to sort of share decision-making with your clients. And that can be done at an individual level so that you're actually allowing your clients even just to co-design individual levels or individual items of the services that you're providing with them. It doesn't have to be, you know, a big specific co-design project. It can just be giving clients the opportunity to co-design solutions, even just at that one-on-one level, which leads us into the last of our four pillars in the program, which is all about the right sort of tools and capability. So it's all about sort of empowering people. But from an individual level, I think the first thing that you want to do is, again, think about your mindset. So really cultivate that innovation mindset, embrace learning, think about personal development, look for opportunities to grow and learn and again, be open to feedback both from your clients, but also seeking it from your colleagues and your leaders so that you can really be comfortable experimenting and learning new things.
And if your organization has an innovation process of some description, use that thing. And any tools and resources that are provided, use them so that you're not reinventing the wheel. Go out there and use those types of resources. There's usually got something in every organization, but make sure they're being used because when they are, you're much more likely to get more, but also you're going to be a lot more effective as well and efficient because you have used things without having to create something new every time.
Absolutely. And if you modify it and change it and you find a way to make it better, please share that back because that will ensure that those tools are continually getting better. And it means then that you can enable the whole organization to have more effective tools and resources. And really, you know, think about new ways that you can collaborate effectively. So, you know, how can you share your broader knowledge and skills and how can you sort of be part of creating that environment that you'd like to be part of where everyone feels valued and everyone's contributions are recognized. I mean, that really starts with you and recognizing other people's contribution to be able to create that as part of your culture. So really, by understanding and applying these principles and thinking about them from your own individual perspective and what it is that you bring to the role, you can contribute significantly to creating that innovative culture. You actually get to really be the change that you'd like to see within your organization, whether that's, you know, from a formal leadership perspective or even just from your own perspective and how you're driving change within your role, influencing your peers and also supporting the organization's missions and goals. Remember, innovation isn't just the responsibility of the leadership team. It's actually a collective effort that, you know, works better when you get participation from everyone in the organization.
That's so true.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Dan.
Thanks, Trace. Always a pleasure. We'll catch you all in the next episode. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Innovate for Impact podcast. Any links to what we spoke about today will be posted in the show notes. If you'd like to know more about social innovation, visit our website where we have a heap of tools to help you on your way. Visit impactoconsulting.com.au. Thanks for listening. Now go out there and make an impact.